This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
Those mob fools want you gone so they can get back to the way things were. But I know the truth. There's no going back. You've changed things. Forever.
Hi, fatty. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. But fat shaming works, you know? And I just wanted to tell you quickly before we start the show about NTT Fitness and NTTNutrition.com. Now, what they do for you is they deliver you handcrafted, perfect micros, perfect macros. You get all your nutrition in one little packet. You stick it in the microwave, or if you're really fancy, you can put it in the oven or an air fryer that you got for Christmas. Everybody loves those. And you can heat it up and you eat it, you put it in your body, and then you push it out the next morning, and then you look good, you feel good. It's as easy as that. Yeah, you got to exercise too, but they can't help you with that. Actually, they can, because I believe they have a gym, but Corona still and all that. But right now, we're just saying NTTNutrition.com. Use code LEVELUP15. You'll get 15% off your first order. Please mention the homemade broadcast at checkout. Yeah, do it. 2021, new year, new you.
Rob Carr, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com. RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
If you were a program director, ops manager, which you are de facto, but no one admits it, and you say like, hey, Mike's going to replace somebody, this is going to be, who is it going to be?
I would probably get rid of, I would keep Anna and Will, because I think they're both good. I would get rid of that show. We'd probably put some syndicated programming on it, was cheaper, and then I'd add them to different shows.
Oh, okay.
I think Will is a prize that nobody's discovered yet.
Yeah, he's a diamond in the rough, for sure.
Yeah, I would put him on a different show and give him more exposure. But that's the first thing that I would do.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
This is Mayor Rick Kreisman, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Base vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioCityPete.com. My name is Will Koontz. Welcome back. 2021, baby. Coming in hot. Watch your eyes. 813-693-2124. HMBRadio.com. Facebook.com/HMBRadio. Home_made_man on Twitter and Instagram. Radio St. Pete is Facebook.com/Radio St. Pete, I believe. Radio St. Pete everywhere else. Radio STPETE. Now on FM 96.7. My show's not on there. But there's other shows on there you can check out. I think I'm more suitable for the internet anyways. While the internet is still here and thriving in some way before it's completely censored. People are already getting thrown off. Obviously, we had a rough week last week, and repercussions, heads are already rolling, and our freedoms are being degraded and taken away every day. But that's just what happens, you know? Hey, got nobody to blame but ourselves. But anyway, talk about that some other time. We got to get to the show. Anna's here. But first, I want to tell you about Truvy Salon and Spa, baby. Back again, another year. Thank you, Chrissy, for re-ing up. I appreciate you. Please go see her at Truvy Salon and Spa. T-R-U-V as in victory, Y, salonandspa.com. 89084 Street North, Unit B, right here in St. Petersburg. Get your hair cut. Bring your mask. She'll cut around it, and you'll look goofy. But you'll be safe. No, she won't do that. I'm just kidding. She'll give you a really good haircut, and you're going to love it. TruVSalonAndSpa.com. Don't know why. The why of things.
Okay. Are we being avant-garde here?
I saw this clip of Matthew McConaughey, and he was like doing this interview with some guy, and he's getting introspective. He's stoned or whatever, but he's got glasses like I'm wearing right now, which are the circular Harry Potter-ish.
Kind of look like the Monopoly guy. Well, you don't have the monocle, but it reminds me of a person from that time.
Yeah.
Like in the 20s.
And he was getting deep with the man, and he was just like, the why of things. And I was like, what does that mean?
Shut up,
you
a-hole.
Fool.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense.
Did something happen yesterday?
2021. Just wanted to take it slow. You know, you get into it slow, you ease back into it after some time, you know, off.
New chapter.
New things are happening, new year. You get the illusion, at least, of a fresh start. I wrote in this blog that I put up on HMB Radio about, you know, we all know that the new year is just the sun or the earth cycling one rotation around the sun.
Uh-huh. And that's not even accurate, by the way, but I understand. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
But yeah, that's what it signifies. Yeah. And yeah.
It's more symbolic than anything.
More symbolic than anything. We all know the deal, and I'm sure that Neil deGrasse Tyson has crafted a very ironic and snarky tweet about how it doesn't mean anything. You go, yeah, I know, but you get the feeling. You get a new calendar.
Semantics, yeah.
You put it up. You pin it to your wall at work, and it's brand new. It's mm-hmm. fresh and it's clean, mm-hmm. and it's more just the human connection. You know, that you get to the new year.
It's everybody's great reset every year. Even though you know it's probably going to be a repeat of the year prior, mm-hmm. it's the mental illusion that things are going to be different.
Things are going to get better in 2021.
Are they?
Yeah. Yeah. I said that, you know, just before we left for break on the radio show that I do. And I said, you know.
What show's that?
The Johnny B Show.
Oh, interesting.
Airs on 102.5 The Bone from 9 to midnight. And I said, you know, things you look for, you look at things in a positive light. You say things are going to be good.
Or at least better.
And your hopes are quickly dashed, is what I said. And boy, was I early. I didn't think it was going to be this soon. Mm. I posted a Snapchat where I saw that on Monday the 4th, Dr. Dre had a brain aneurysm, and I went, wow, 2021 coming in hot if we lost this legend, you know, 4 days into the new year. 2 days later, a revolution happened in Washington, D.C. 6 days in, people stormed the Capitol building in Washington, D.C.
I slept through the whole thing.
And I was texting Anna, and I said, oh, my God, it's happening right now.
I wake up from a nap disillusioned. I go, what?
There's no response for a while. And she goes, what's happening? And I go, you should get on the internet. Yeah. And
I just slept for 1 hour. What happened?
Man, yeah. And you would, of all people, sleep through the revolution. You would be the person
who would also be late to the revolution.
Yes, yeah.
I meant 45 minutes when I said 15 minutes. Everybody knows
yes.
this.
Yes. Yeah. I was talking to Anna today. She goes, I'll be there in 25 minutes. And I should have known better. And I said, well, I'm not home right now. It'll take me a few minutes. Like, how about 45 minutes? Not knowing that 25 minutes actually meant 45 minutes.
Right, right.
And it ended up being an hour and a half before you got here.
Well, that was your fault.
That was my fault. Yeah. Lesson learned. But that's okay. It ended up working out. So, yeah, 2021 is coming in very hot. There was a... I don't think I would call this, a lot of people on the news are calling it, and I'm glad we waited to record, by the way, too, because we were going to record on Monday.
I was like, too much stuff happens within a week to record it a week beforehand, so yeah. I'm glad we did wait.
Yeah, I'm super glad that we waited, and there was a speech that the president, the Save America rally that he called for, you know, people to be there. I'd heard that some people were saying 10 million people were going to be in Washington, D.C. I don't think it was anywhere close to that, but there was a few hundred thousand.
That many?
At least,
it was like tens of thousands. It was hundreds?
I think it was probably in. There were a lot of people.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know the exact number, but at the very least, thousands, tens of thousands at the least. And he had he decided that he was going to address this crowd, and you know, he went out there and said, "This election was stolen from me. I won, and they're stealing it from me. Do with that information what you will." Is essentially what
he's been saying that for months.
Been saying it for months. Now, saying it on Twitter, where there's not an organized group of people, you know, online, yeah, there's an organized mob that you can form, but when there's actual a group of people,
ready,
where you
set,
have a
and willing to go,
a small
moves.
Army at your disposal, although unarmed, nobody had, you know, weapons. There was bombs that were planted. Who knows where those came from?
I think
from.
Some people. Here's the thing: some people were arrested for like unlicensed, like, carrying of weapons.
Yeah, you can't have guns in DC at all, I don't think. So some were, but it wasn't like a militia, an armed militia where everybody had a rifle.
It wasn't like
rifle.
A Chaz or Chop.
Well, even there, not many had weapons. There was a few that did, that were the police, and ended up killing a bunch of people. The police, which was a whole... This is another... everything is so ironic to the point where it's almost hack. Everything is just...
Well, we've completely... the sides have completely switched in 24 hours. We'll go into that as well. I was telling Will before we started that I have to wake up very early for the job I have now. And at 5 a.m., I was watching CBS News, and it was a rerun from yesterday because they don't even get up that early there. Hmm. And they were saying, talking about the police, and again, this is CBS News, and they were saying that, you know, the police didn't have enough resources and that we should be concerned about the safety and welfare of the personnel that protect the Capitol, and we have to worry about the National Guard. And I was like, wait, hold on a second. I went, what's going on here? Is the left-leaning media talking about the police in a positive light, saying that we need A, law and order, and B, to protect the police, and that they need more resources, when I've been hearing them clamoring to defund the police for, I don't know, 8 or 9 months now? That was shocking.
and the, whatever positions, that's a, at 2020 proved that everything is fake. All of our institutions are fake. The politics is fake. It's just an agenda that people have that's based on power. But there's no political stance that people take that are principled. They can be easily moved to whatever's convenient for their cause. So if you say rioting is bad, you shouldn't do that. Okay, but then
unless it's for your cause,
and right. you're doing it, then it's okay, and then it's justified and morally sound. And just seeing the people just totally take the opposite side's position seamlessly with no sense of irony was really something to see. So yes, a bunch of people, Burning Man 2.0 showed up in Washington D.C. There was people dressed in costumes, furries. They had the whole lot of them there, and they ended up just storming past a police barricade of, I don't know how many cops were there. I saw some videos that looked like they just formed a single line around the Capitol building, easily overpowered, not enough manpower there, and they walked right in to Congress and the Senate and to the Capitol building with very little anybody trying to stop them. Really, they tried. I saw videos. That was another narrative that, you know, the D.C. police there just let them walk in and took selfies. I saw a video of one cop who was surrounded by these people who was probably terrified.
Yeah.
Because if he goes, hey, get out of here, or starts shooting, he's going to get murdered himself.
Yeah.
You know, if you're outnumbered, you're probably going to be a little afraid. So a guy took a selfie with him, and he went, yeah, okay, kind of gave him the thumbs up, and... people were saying that, they just let these people storm in to the Capitol, which is...
What are you supposed to do if there's a potentially angry mob coming towards you? I'd probably do the same thing.
Well, the cops tried. They were fighting. I see videos of cops fighting people, punching people,
that,
hitting people.
But then I also saw some other cops, you know, taking pictures. But again, we're assuming that these are all the same group of people. There very well could have been altercations where it got physical and then other people were calmly walking around and then some cops were just being nice to them. You know what I mean?
Well, they look at it as they're all terrorists and insurrectionists, and you can't be, you know, what do you call it?
You're guilty by association.
Yeah, but like schmoozing with the enemy. you know, then you're kind of guilty too. Complicit. Yeah. 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 So there was a lot of, it was just, I couldn't keep up with all the ironies and all of the just flat out hypocrisies that happened in 24 hours. There was a woman who was shot by police as she tried to get into the main chamber, and she was shot.
She died.
And died. And that was, I'm sorry, just saying that I've heard people say good that she's dead.
I mean, if she was trying to harm somebody, you know.
But I don't, like, she wasn't armed.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to use the other side's logic here. She was being peaceful, right? She was just occupying a space.
Yeah.
Peacefully. She wasn't armed.
But, I mean, trespassing and, you know.
Sure. And I get that. Right, I get that point, too. I'm with that.
But I understand you're playing devil's advocate. You're arguing from the other side. I understand. And she was a woman, too.
And a woman. And regardless. Is,
you know, we're a marginalized group, apparently. So
it's just it's just a tragedy that this woman lost her life for something that was, I mean.
Kind of dumb.
Dumb.
Really dumb. Yeah. And three other people died as well.
Four people died so far in this thing. And I heard somebody say that, who's an on-air personality, that, oh, good, that she's dead. And I just went into a rage. That was so disgusting to hear somebody say that. I mean, no matter how you feel, somebody lost their life over this thing. And you should feel, this just lacks any sort of empathy.
Unless it's for your side.
But that's righteous. And that's what the thing is those people that stormed the Capitol building believed that they were patriots. Now, you could say that they're wrong. Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. Maybe they were wrong. But their president told them that the election was stolen from him. He's the rightful leader.
He's essentially Jesus to these people.
And yeah, that's a whole other thing.
That's a problem, too.
This religion has been supplemented by politics for a lot of these people. The place where God usually sits in your brain.
Trump's now there. For some people.
Their identity is now there, and their in-group is now there, depending on what side of the pendulum you're on. And it was just a shame. You know, like, that woman didn't have to die. Yesterday doesn't mean, just because she was wrong doesn't mean she had to die.
Sure.
Right? That's what we were told for months and months and months. And I agree with that statement. I agreed with it months ago as well. But just how easily the coin was just flipped, where they used their arguments. That was just so dumbfounding to me. I talked to a friend. I pick my battles because I know it's a moot point. I'm not going to get anywhere.
No,
the programming is so
embedded.
Easily signaled. I mean, like I said, in less than 24 hours, the positions were totally switched around. They sent out the signals in media, on social media, and they picked them up and broadcasted them freely to signal more of the truth.
And there was irony on both sides, because a lot of people storming the Capitol, I saw, had the American flags with the blue stripe, and they're beating up cops, and I'm like, what the hell? This is the, quote, law and order group, and they're assaulting the cops, and then the other side is now saying, we need to make sure that the police are well-funded, well-armed, well-resourced. It's just like, left is right and up is down. I had no idea that everything was going to switch in literally less than 24 hours.
Yeah. I'm still struggling with it because I understand what's happening, you know, and I get that. I'm coming to the realization. I had that realization that everything is fake. Everything, our institutions, the politics is all fake.
It's literally like the show.
It's meaningless. Nobody believes anything that they're broadcasting publicly. It's all in-group stuff and in your tribe, and it has nothing to do with actual policy or anything.
And another thing that really pissed me off, and I told you this before we started recording, is that some of the senators that were planning to object to the election, to the electoral vote, after the riots, changed their tune.
Yes.
So the woman, what was her name that lost in Georgia?
Kelly Loeffler.
She comes back after the whatever 5-6 hour hiatus to back to the chambers and says, you know what? I'm not going to object to the election results or the electoral vote. It's like, why? If you think that the election was stolen and you really believe that in your mind, your soul, your heart and everything like that, and then because of the rioters, why would that change your mind? That has nothing to do with the election being fraudulent at all.
Right.
So why would you change your mind? Does that mean A, you're a coward, or B, you never really believed it in the first place?
Yeah.
And now you're scared.
She even said, I still think that there was irregularities and something funky went on, but I'm not going to, just to keep the peace, essentially. So you yielded to terrorists is essentially what happened. Yeah, I said that last night, too, and nobody really thought that was that meant
yielded
anything.
Yielded to terrorists who were allegedly on your side.
On your side. It's such a quagmire. Yeah, like, up is, we really live in this post, like, truth doesn't even exist. Truth is fake. Nothing really makes any sort of sense.
As the great Giannis Pappas once said, the truth is up for grabs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everything
really
is just about how you swing it, the narrative, all you have to do. And I learned this in grad school, unfortunately, when it came to science, which was really disheartening. You know, if you found it, when I was in grad school, my advisor would tell the PhD students that were in my cohort, if they didn't get like a significant result, he would tell them to, quote, shake up the data, meaning run a different analysis. You might get a significant result and then you can publish your findings. It's just so there's nothing is real. All you have to do is kind of shake it up, take out the outliers, shoot it from a different angle, and then boom, you have a different story.
Right. Yes. And that's
scary.
What tries-
and that's academia. That's science.
Yeah.
So you can imagine everything else is just like, you know,
everything is agenda. Yeah. Driven. There's nothing that the follow the science people are nonsense when it comes to any sort of gender issues.
Climate
they're not
change,
following.
Right. Climate change are all about the science. Yeah. Gender issues, there's no biology.
Right.
What?
Yeah. They'll throw the complete and not even wink at that. Not even go, yeah, I don't know. They'll just be like, yeah, that's correct.
And the right is not free from that either. You know, a lot of them are climate change deniers, but then we'll say there's biological differences, but then they also believe in God.
Right.
So I'm just like, you're the evangelicals.
Yeah, yeah.
It just makes no sense. There's no consistency at
right.
all.
I think the God example is even better than climate deniers, because even climate deniers in quotes that I've talked to go, yeah, there's climate change happening, but number one, are we going to...
Not caused by humans or...
Well, it's caused by humans, but number one, are we going to give up, you know, having air conditioning and farming,
yeah,
you know,
but
factory farming?
A lot of them will say the climate changes naturally and they don't think it's caused by humans. Some people are saying that.
Some people, yeah. I mean, so, the ones that I've talked to anecdotally, they've been like, yeah, I think the climate's changing, but what are we going to, I mean, what can we do about
right.
it? We have this way of life. We have to keep it up. If we get rid of fossil fuels, millions upon millions and millions of people are going to die.
Or lose their jobs or.
Yeah. So it's just a sacrifice we'll have to make.
Cost benefit analysis.
Yeah. And everything is, and nobody can get that through their heads. I'm seeing this a lot with the vaccinations now. Now, in less than a year, the companies were able to get a vaccine for this COVID-19 disease. Yeah, which is insane. I still can't believe they did that. It's a modern marvel.
Is it?
And now I see, yeah, well, that's a whole other issue. But I see in they're particularly hard on Ron DeSantis about this. Florida's in the limelight nationally. He got in a fight with a CNN reporter.
I saw that.
And it was, she's saying, what's the problem? Everywhere is having problems. Canada's having a problem with their vaccine rollout. New York is having problems. Like, literally nowhere is doing good. I think Israel was the most efficient.
Yeah, I think they'd done over a million.
Yeah.
But they have a much smaller population.
Exactly. There's a law of large numbers. The larger a number is, the more chaotic it is. Mm-hmm. And it's harder to, I guess, reel it in. But... it's like, what? Like, have you ever been to a Bucks game and tried to use the bathroom at halftime? There's a lot of demand for it. There's long lines for it. There's millions of people who are wanting this vaccine, and there's a couple hundred people able to give it.
And they literally say first come, first serve. Like,
and like, what? There's just no way to. I saw that they even he had a plan to distribute the vaccine at Publix stores.
I saw that.
And this journalist, as she was at Bay News 9, was saying, well, the site's been up for 2 hours and the appointment's already gone for 2 weeks. Yes, but they're getting people in there vaccinated.
That's all.
There's
that
only
they have.
So much time in a day. There's only so many people that are able to, you know, give the vaccine. Like, what do you? They don't think about this. Like, why is this happening? They just look and go, "This is a problem," but they don't go, "Why is it a problem?" And try to fix that problem. They just go, "It's a problem." And we're going to let our leaders answer for it. And then you'll go, "Well, yeah, there's just high demand." And then they'll go, well, that's not good. He's not taking, they want him to be a dictator. They want him to take the reins on the vaccine distribution. And he just said, well, I'm just going to let the hospitals figure it out.
Right. He said, this should not be state run. He's like, it'll be a mess.
Because he knows state government and government in general is inefficient at this stuff. As shown in New York, for example, where they're completely taking the reins on it and they're having major problems there with it. But it just goes, it's just so frustrating. But then you understand that I don't think there's, I don't know what percentage of the population has any sort of critical thinking ability where, or they just signal to their tribes. It's, I'm going to go single digits that are actually able to think critically about any issue. 96% are just machines waiting to be programmed by whatever sort of options they look to for media or news.
It's interesting that that is really not something that is a virtue in our culture at all.
In fact, it's quite the opposite. You're shamed when you do. If you do your own research and don't appeal to authority, you know.
Isn't that strange? Like that, which, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, obviously the powers that be want you to stay in line. So
yes,
that makes sense.
It helps the system. Yeah.
But it is strange that inherently, like, parents aren't teaching their children think critically for yourself. It's just essentially think like me.
Do what the authorities tell you to do. Cause that's
which is essentially, you know, if you're brought up in a conservative Republican home, more than likely you will manifest that as an adult. You may change later on, but initially you'll be that. And same as a Democrat, like you're born as a Democrat, you kind of live. And I mean, I'm kind of a little bit different than that. Well, that's not true because my dad was a little bit on the conservative side. So I definitely had those voices in my head along with like more of the side from my mother as well. That was Democrat. But let me tell you something about Mama Hummel. That's not her last name, but my mother did not vote for Biden. Mm. And she said, don't tell your aunt and don't tell your cousins.
Isn't that, that's another thing. They talk about totalitarianism and fascism. Like, you can't even say that, I guess in their eyes, that you're voting for a fascist so I can be a fascist in my response to it. You know, like, they'll disown you. They're telling people
intolerant of intolerance.
Yes, right. And it's might not necessarily be intolerance, but they've categorized it as such. And they're right, ergo, I'm right.
And therefore, all means are justified for the ends.
Right. Power is ends to a means, I think, for them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as opposed to means to an end, I think, for other people. That's a whole other diatribe we could go into. How was your holiday? Well, let's just say, to wrap this up, there was a failed... I wouldn't even call it a coup. They were unarmed. A coup and a revolution requires a king, number one, or some sort of authority figure, despot, which, okay, you can call President Trump that if you want to. I suppose you could frame it that way. It requires an army. That those people that assembled there were not armed, most of them. The overwhelming amount were not. Mm-hmm. And it requires a general, somebody who's competent, to control that army.
There seemed to be a leaderless mob. I mean, I'm sure they're kind of leading the force, but I mean, what was the goal? Like, they were just going to stamp in there?
They were a dog chasing a car and they caught the car. They were once they got in, they were like, oh.
There was no plan of action. They were just posing on Pelosi's desk and writing her notes and the guy that had
it was blowing off steam.
Yeah, the Burning Man guy. Yeah. It was just really weird. It was more of like an Instagram photo op than anything.
Yeah, there was a bunch of picture taken, and that was the thing. Boy, oh my gosh, people will rat on themselves with their phones. There were so many people giving interviews that were inside the building. I was like, well, dude, you're effed. You were inside the building. It was a guy that was right behind a woman that got shot. And he was saying, my name's Tim something or other. I live in Birmingham, New Jersey. And it's like, dude, you're screwed.
Morons,
what are you doing? Like, and they will throw the book at those people. They're going to spend time in prison, a lot of these people. And
that
I
was
will,
the day to wear a mask over your face.
Yeah, and there wasn't a lot of masks going on that day. Not. Yeah, that would have certainly been the day to put a mask on at the very least. All the face recognition technology, I saw people up in arms about that. They only arrested 13 people. Well, in a few hours, that went up to 47.
I think it's like 60.
And then the next few months, 52. you're gonna see hundreds of people that are going to spend a long time in prison
as
for
they
this.
Should. I mean, that you shouldn't be, you can't, they're breaking and entering, and you're not supposed to be in there. And, you know, we don't know if you're going to cause harm. I saw some of the senators or congressmen and women with the bags on their head in case they released a biochemical agent. I get it. You're scared. You don't know what's going to happen. People are crazy.
Yeah. Well, like I said, so they were upset that there wasn't enough arrests, and that was a cue for the, well, look at these people, they get away with, you know, anything.
That, yeah, well, in other cases, the police were told to stand down, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, anyways, that's different. That's different.
Sorry I brought that up.
Yeah.
That was my mistake. My trip.
So, well, hold on. Just to conclude. Yeah. Well, okay. So you need a general, you need an army, and you need a king. And there might have been one out of three of those things. So this was the, like, and Trump, he could have, if he would have said, all right, so let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go take over the Capitol. I'm taking over. But Trump doesn't do that. He's not, all that 4D chess stuff was nonsense. You heard it on his phone calls with the Georgia guy from Georgia. He's just a kind of he gives the appearance of being that type of dude. Like maybe he could be a strong man and a dictator, but he's not. He's not that dude.
Yeah.
And every time he had the opportunity to seize power over his 4 years, COVID would have been a great opportunity to seize total control.
Could have been the biggest power grab in American history.
And I think people would have said, okay, you know, we got to do this right now. Unfortunately, if he would have came out and said COVID is a huge threat, you know, we are, and not
be afraid.
He said, yeah, we need to be afraid of this. A lot of people are going to die. I have to do this, you know, and then he could just seize total control. And everybody would have been in agreement with that, too, for him to do that. He's always punted, no matter what. He's always punted the ball whenever he had the opportunity to seize any sort of power whatsoever. He gave the illusion of being a dictator, but was certainly not. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, I even talked to some of my friends who had called him that a few weeks ago, and then after the election kind of pulled back on that one. Yeah, he's just a doofus. He's not.
Well, is that because their person won?
Of course. Of course. Obviously.
Let's be friends. Yeah. I know I was calling you a racist a couple weeks ago, but let's be friends.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, that moment, those images from that day in D.C. on March or January the 6th, those are never going to be forgotten. Those are going to be on the internet for a very long time.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever.
And it has just how easy, like the state cannot let that happen. I'm curious what's going to happen when the next group tries it. You know what I mean? Because I don't think it's going to go well. There's going to be gunshots that are fired and people getting put down because they can't let that happen again.
Yeah, no.
It's just, there's just no way. How easily it was just overran where you could do that.
I'm surprised it just wasn't better staffed. Like maybe they just weren't expecting that, but I mean,
yeah, I don't know. Maybe they thought
have the National Guard there if there's 100,000 or even.
Well, there's always tons of people in D.C. They have rallies weekly with thousands and thousands.
The last big push and the timing of the electoral vote certifying. Like you don't think that this was probably.
No, I agree.
On the docket. And again, there's when you have these big rallies, you have a lot of discourse on social media about meeting, what we're going to do. They stole the election. You could sense that there was a lot of ire. There was a lot of anger and that a lot of people were going to be congregating and possibly could do some damage.
The only thing I could think of was that they said, well, this is the president. He's not going to, you know, have his own institution attacked, certainly, on that day. Or if people, he would say, listen, you know, we're going to go through the process. You know,
I'm going to run again in 2024.
Something like, announces, you know, running again or something like that. So maybe they just didn't expect it. I don't know, because there's always tons of people in D.C. using political actions, organizing, and they have, I went to the Ron Paul rally, the Ron Paul Rev Love Lucian in D.C. many years ago.
Yeah. For lack of a better word, lame title.
It is. Yeah. It was great though. And there was a bunch of people there and there's a bunch of speakers and stuff. And we had a lot of fun. It was mostly a vacation for us. We drank and had a good time.
Yeah,
you know, this was many years ago in 2006 or something. But just, and that happens all the time, almost, you know, almost weekly or, you know, a couple times a week. There's a lot of people in D.C. So maybe they just didn't think that it could happen. You know, it never really happened before, but they'd never organized. I saw a picture. I don't trust just a guy on Twitter with a picture where they showed all these troops on Capitol lawn. They said this is a BLM gathering and showed all the National Guard on the step.
Yeah, I saw that
I don't
too.
Know. Maybe it is. I don't know. But I'm hesitant to just hit a retweet on a picture from some guy.
That's out of context.
That might have an agenda to push.
Of course.
So I don't know. But for whatever reason, I know that the chief of the police in D.C. is resigning over that. And they're going to go into some sort of investigation to see what the hell happened that day. Why weren't they prepared for that?
That was dumb.
So, there's talk of the 25th Amendment being executed now. Pelosi and Schumer called for it publicly today, and that's just signaling, you know, there's 2 weeks left. They want that to happen so they could say, see, we were right the whole time, the last 4 years. Even though these investigations never came up with bunk, we were right, and he should never have been. And
they're really trying to roll on the momentum of, like, Pence, like, breaking stride with Trump, because Trump asked him to, he could have blocked, I guess, the electoral certification, and he didn't do that, basically, because he said, my job is purely ceremonial. Like, I really don't have the power to block anything. I'm just kind of there as, like, a prop, and if this is the will of the American people, I certainly am not going to get in the way of that. I think he did the right thing, Pence did. Mm-hmm. But then, because he broke with loyalties to Trump, and Trump even tweeted about it, I think that they're really trying to roll with that momentum and say, listen, even the vice president, who's his biggest
Mitch
loyalist,
McConnell,
is,
Mitt
is
Romney,
him, Lindsey Graham, all, you know.
They like Mitt Romney again because Mitt stood up against him, and they liked him when he voted for impeachment. They liked him, and then when he voted for Barrett to be seated on the Supreme Court, they hated him again, and there was a bunch of articles written about how much he sucks, and now they like him again because he stood up against him. It's, if you do what they want, they like you. You know, that's what it comes down to.
That's everybody.
Sure. But there's not everybody gets an editorial in the New York Times. Mm-hmm. That's the difference. So anyway, I guess it's over now. I don't know. By next week, they might use the 25th Amendment.
Don't speak too soon.
Yeah, who knows? I've heard he's losing his mind in the White House. Who knows? He's cut off from Facebook. He doesn't have Twitter now. They kicked him off everything. They kicked the president of the United States. Can't use any sort of social media.
Is he back on now? And I knew it was just a 12-hour ban.
I think he deleted the tweets. So he might be back on Twitter today. Mm-hmm. He did delete the tweets that they had an objection with, where he kind of gave a, you know, he said, go home, but then said, you're very special. And people got upset about that because he called, said that they're very special.
Yeah, that's not the move, dude.
Yeah.
Not the move.
It wasn't a great speech, but damn it, we should have the right to see it. He's the president. And be critical of it. And news should be able to go, this is, you know, not great. Mm-hmm. And, you know, comment on it and talk about why it's not great. But instead they just censored it. We really do live in 1984 now. I know that's a hack, you know, reference. Thing to say, but read 1984 and then tell me it's a hack reference.
Or at least moving that direction.
Certainly. Certainly steamrolling there. And I guess that's it with that. I don't know. We'll have more information about that next week. I have a story about New Year's Eve. But I want to ask you how your trip was. I know you were in California.
I was. Mm-hmm. Newsom's hellscape, as I like to call it. Mm-hmm. It was awesome. Mm. And listen, I'm not a fan of Gavin Newsom. I think he's done a terrible job managing the state. But indirectly, I feel like my trip was extra great because of him. Because everything was pretty much closed and we couldn't go to movie theaters or eat at restaurants inside. And it was pretty cold a lot of the time. So I did not want to eat outside when it was.
Did they have outdoor seating there?
At some places it was just to go and delivery. But because of him, I spent so much time outside running, walking on the beach, hiking, things like that, that I think that it was like an extra special. It almost felt like a retreat. You know what I mean? I detoxed myself, no drinking, no smoking weed, nothing. It was just a very pure, wholesome trip. My dad was awesome. I ended up seeing my friend that, you know, didn't want to see me without a mask. She wore a mask the whole time, pretty much.
Didn't she take it off at one point, though, towards the end?
Which is silly to me, because it's like you're eating, you're opening your mouth, but then suddenly the mask goes back on. What's the point? I mean, we just exposed ourselves.
Yeah, but
it is what it is.
That's what my story is regarding after years.
Again, whatever makes her feel comfortable, I'm not going to try to rip people's logic apart. I was just happy to see her. She was pretty cool about it. The first day that I spent with her was a little bit awkward, I would say, at the beginning, because I was very uncomfortable with the mask being outside. And we're by the beach, so you have the wind, you have the waves, and you're screaming through this mask. And at one point she goes, listen, I don't want you to be uncomfortable. At which point I ripped off the mask. And it was fine. She wore a mask. I didn't. It was cool. She was
Which is so weird because it makes them way less effective. if yeah. one is wearing them and one isn't.
Absolutely. But listen, as long as she didn't like make me wear a mask to hang out with me, mm-hmm. I was cool. She can sure. do whatever the hell she wants.
Sure, sure,
I'm
sure.
a libertarian, baby. If it makes yeah. you feel more comfortable, by all means do it. But it was a great trip. I'm glad to be back. It was the perfect amount of time. I wasn't itching to get back, but I certainly wasn't hating staying there. So it was just fantastic.
Mm.
A plus. I Good. Wish I had more like fun drama and I did all more cool things, but it was great. Very well needed. Mm-hmm. It was my great reset. I came back a different human being.
Oh, we found out that that's not a conspiracy theory after all.
Not a conspiracy theory, but yes, that was certainly my great reset. And I encourage everybody, if they have the opportunity, I know a lot of people are struggling with money, so it's not like you should go to Italy for a week and do this thing that I did. But if you have the opportunity to kind of like get in a different headspace and go somewhere different and just really relax and detox. And another thing I did that was pretty important is I really did stay away from the news. Besides the major stories, Nashville and whatnot, for the most part, I was just kind of like focusing on being present and watching movies with my dad or going hiking with my dad and not so much doomsday scrolling like I do when I'm here.
Mm-hmm,
that
mm-hmm.
is very helpful and yeah. really good to recharge and rejuvenate. So anyways.
Well, good. I'm glad your yeah, trip was great. Good. I thought you were just going to be locked inside of a house. The
no,
entire
no.
time.
I was outside the whole time. It was good. Great.
So I decided on New Year's Eve that, you know what? I've had COVID. I have the antibodies currently. I would like to go have a drink somewhere. I didn't want to go out on New Year's Eve because that's amateur hour. I'm not really a big partier anymore. I like to drink, but I'm not a partier. Yeah. I don't like, I have to
you
go
like
to the
crowd.
I have to go to the bathroom and I don't want to have to wait in line for a bathroom.
Or drink.
Or drink. Yes. Both of those things I hate. So I go, it's early, it's New Year's Eve, I'm going to go and have a drink somewhere. And I picked this place. It was around, just down the street, because they have a nice, well, not nice, a dumpy outdoor section. And I figure, well, that's good. It's still cold and flu season. I don't really want to be inside and smoky in there. You know, I don't want to sit inside. I'd like to sit outside anyways. It's nice out. It's January. It's Florida. And I guess it was December at that time, but almost January. And I go, okay, well, I'm going to go here and get a drink. So I park at this dump, and, you know, I'm a little afraid of getting bed bugs, but not really afraid of getting COVID. And I walk in, I have the mask around my ear, and it's kind of just in case I have to go inside and go to the bathroom, I have the mask ready to go. I know that inside you have to wear it. I'm not anti-mask guy. I think there's a lot of hypocrisy with that too, but look, if you got to do it, you got to do it. I'm not going to put too, it's not that big of a deal for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a my freedoms guy. I am, but I'm also like, it's just not, it's fine. Whatever.
And you understand that the business owners are it's not necessarily that they want those rules. It, they just don't want to get dinged
yes.
or fined.
Yeah,
right,
yeah,
right.
yeah. I get it. So I'm walking into the outside area, outside bar in the back. And I see this fella watching the football game, and he's just eyes. I can feel his eyes on me as I'm walking up. And
you're outside.
Outside.
Okay.
And I'm walk past him. I'm about 15 feet away from the outside bar where it would be totally fine to sit there and not have a mask. And he goes, "Hey, works better if you wear it." And I kind of went, "Yeah." And I went and sat down at the bar. 2 seconds it took me to get there. And the guy walks by. It's an old guy. He reeks of cigs. Just, you know, obviously cares about his health very much. And he goes, "Thanks for complying." And I go, "What the hell's going on with this guy?" And he walks like into the bar. So he must be a regular or something. If he's able to just kind of go back there, he's talking to the bartender. He's pointing at me. I'm like, oh boy, this is going to be a problem. And this other fella comes around who works here and says, what can I get you? I said, I'll just have a Budweiser. It'd be fine. I'm just having a drink and then getting out of here. And the guy who reeks of cigs is in my face and he's going, no, don't serve him. He won't wear a mask. Don't serve him. And I go, who the F is this guy?
Mm.
And he goes, that's the owner. And I went, oh, I just laughed. And he's screaming at me now. He's in my face. He's concerned about COVID, but he's in my face.
It's funny that he's getting closer to you.
And I don't.
Best thing you could do to prevent it is actually socially distance, not wear a mask. I mean, not the mask wearing, but actually creating more space.
Yeah. And he's exactly. And he's like, you're putting my life at risk and you're breaking the law. And I'm just like, I said, you need to get 6 feet away from me. You're in my face and this is not healthy. This is not, you know, protocol here. So acknowledged that and went, oh, and then backed up 6 feet and then still continued to wag his finger at me. So I just got up and left. But this is, and he was consoled by, now he's sitting, if you're eating and drinking, you don't need to wear a mask. So nobody's wearing a mask sitting at tables out there. And he's, this woman calls him over and is rubbing his back. She's not wearing a mask. She's got her beer. She's rubbing his, it's okay, it's okay. I'm like, do you not see the
she's
issue?
She's not wearing a mask.
She's not wearing a mask. Like, hello? Is it bad? But I don't think it was about me. Something must have happened where he's in a bad mood and something else happened. Maybe he got a fine, you know, and he just needed somebody to take it out on because it was so irrational. None of this makes sense. This stuff has driven people, politics, the election, Trump, COVID. It's made people so illogical and so they don't have a cohesive thought in their head. Like, it's just like, look around. Do you have eyeballs? Look around you. Do you see a problem here?
It's very,
with this?
They cherry pick everything, you know,
it's convenient.
Yeah. And I mean, I hate to shift it to, you know, religion, but it's the exact
same
thing.
Yeah.
I have a lot of friends who, you know, they'll go to church and then they do things maybe not so godly on the weekends. But come Sunday morning, they're in church and they're, you know, saying the psalms and going to the, you know, whatever, listening to the sermon. To me, in my mind, that makes no sense. Now, a lot of the things that they do, for example, whether it be like premarital sex or doing drugs, like I have no problem with the fact that they do those things. But those aren't Christian values or those aren't Jewish values. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So why are you pledging allegiance to a group when you yourself are breaking the rules of that group? Like, that makes no sense to me. So it's the same sort of thing where people cherry pick and then go, no, I'm a Christian, but I like to have premarital sex and I'm gay and all these things. I'm like, the Christians think that's not okay. Like, I'll accept you as a human being, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. Why do you want to be part of a group that
doesn't
isn't accepting
you
of your lifestyle?
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
I've made that point a bunch of times too. And then you sound like a homophobe if you say that, but I was like, it's just, it says
they
it in their book.
You. In the book. Have you read the book, the Bible? They say you cannot lay with another man.
There's always some excuse to go, oh, well, there's the book of Enoch that should be part of it. And you just go, okay, well, I don't know anything about that. Yeah. So I don't have to tell you, but I know it's not really
right.
Smiled upon, let's just say. So I don't know. I don't get it. Every 2020 exposed that everything is fake.
Yeah.
Nothing is real. Everything's fashion. It's all a facade. So I don't know what to believe anymore.
Believe in yourself.
Do your own research and don't die.
Don't
I think
die.
That's the message of 2021. Do not die.
Yeah. 2021 coming in hot.
Coming in hot. Okay. Well, that's a good way to start out, I think. Who knows what will happen next week. We'll be back next week. Please follow HMB Radio on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. While I'm still there, I'm sure it's only a matter of time before I'm thrown off because that's just the way things are going. So follow home_made_man and get on a Homo Radio and HMB Radio on Facebook. Radio St. Pete, just Radio St. Pete pretty much everywhere. So get that. And if you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is coming up next, followed by the Indie Circuit. If you're listening on podcast, thank you. Please tell a friend about it. Looking forward to being with you again this year before I'm sent to an internment camp. Be fun. My name is Will Koontz. This has been HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. Be nice. Bye.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSt.Pete.com.